Okay, here we are. Hour number three. From the fun to the furiously serious. And it is very serious out there. I just wanted to do something real quick here. First, hi, Erica. Welcome back. We're here for our friends out there. Third time this week, doing our best to help them make sense of all of this insanity.
Yeah, hi, Jeff. We made it through another week, didn't we? Somehow.
Yeah. They are not going to run out of tricks, trickery, treachery, or other words that sound similar. They have an endless supply, and believe me, on the shelf of biological weapons, and that's exactly what we're dealing with here, they have an endless supply. They're you got to remember, they're 10, 20 years ahead of us, maybe more, depending, in creating this stuff. And whoever created the spike protein has indeed created the deadliest, most diabolically evil thing I, as a non-scientist, have ever heard about. Have you ever heard of anything really more devious and demonic than the spike protein? And we don't know the whole of it yet.
No, there's so many facets to it that have the ability to basically dissolve a human being.
That's not an exaggeration. And what? Go ahead and explain that. Our bodies are full of bacteria, okay? And viruses and other things. And they're held in check, in balance, by generally good health, good eating habits, take care of yourself, etc. But above all and below all is your immune system. And those bacteria and viruses, if they're not held in check, what do they do to the body, the human body?
Well, they'll overtake them. I mean, they want to replicate at the expense of your cells and the proteins that they produce to maintain your physiology.
Right. What happens when we die?
Oh, you're overtaken by composting bacteria and fungi so that you can be returned to the earth and recycled.
And that's exactly what I was talking about, and Eric and I have talked about this before. When the immune system dies, these bacteria, either from external sources or even from interior sources, will begin to replicate and consume and break your body down, just like it does when you die. Enzyme action, all kinds of things. Mold, yeast, fungus, you choose. The point is, when your immune system goes, unless you've been able to somehow construct a remote facsimile to fight some of these imbalances off, you're going to start to turn to mush. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah. Well, I would say, the process begins with a drop in oxygen levels at the cellular level, and that can come about due to a variety of reasons. But, the oxygen drops, the accumulation of acids within the cell makes for a sick cell, so it can't produce energy.
Right.
And that alone is an invitation for opportunistic organisms to move in and set up shop, which further compounds the problem.
So there you go.
Because they're producing proteins and stealing nutrients and other things, energy from your cell. So you need to keep these things at bay. I mean, a healthy body does that naturally. A well-oxygenated, well-nourished body will do that by design.
We are such an astonishing balance. The more I learn about the human body, and I studied biology in college and did well, but I still had no idea. It is so intricate in its balancing and its interactions and all the rest of it that I sometimes marvel at how we're even alive, how the body can maintain itself.
Oh, especially given endless assaults that they've thrown at us over the years. I mean, the food supply, these radiational assaults, the EMFs, whatever's in the drinking water from time to time, whatever's raining down on us, it's nonstop.
Yeah, you're totally right. I just did a search with Gurgle, and I did monkeypox. 326 million results. Boom. Whoosh, like, just fast. So, among other things, always remember, they're gaming and planning, and when something like this happens, monkeypox, they watch, and they learn more. And they feed the data real time into their supercomputers, and they keep watching. They know how people are going to react. How much fear is still left in the masses? How much of a reflex, a fear reflex, is there? And they learn. Here are some headlines on monkeypox. We're going to start out with that tonight, obviously. Russian military points to the presence of U.S., as in Biden, funded biolabs in Nigeria amid global monkeypox scare. So the Russians are pointing out more reality than any other media outlet or government that I can think of, generally speaking. No, they lie, but not like the West. Oh, no. WHO, the World Health Organization, what a misnomer, speaks out against imposing a travel ban due to monkeypox outbreak. Well, they don't want a travel ban. Now, that leads you to one of several conclusions. If monkeypox is a new strain or a tweaked strain, they wouldn't want a travel ban, would they? Because they want to spread it. So that's one way to look at that story. Now we have 300 and some cases of monkeypox in 8 U.S. states, or is 300 total? I forget.
I think that's worldwide so far, with more.
300 total, worldwide. Yeah,
there's a handful here in the states. So we're up to 9 states having reported cases now. 8 or 9.
Okay.
8 or 9 states.
Yeah. Okay. 10 monkeypox cases identified in the U.S. so far. And the NBC is still sitting on 8 states, but whatever. So there you go. 300 cases worldwide. And look at the press. Look at the attention. 326 million hits on a search. Boom. We haven't learned. People haven't learned to go slow, think about these things before they're leaping, before they think. There's a reflex that has been drilled into people of fear. I understand it. I see how it was done. I understand the results. There are an awful lot of Americans who have literally PTSD, and they will have it for the rest of their lives now. And especially those in vaxxed families where they are beginning to lose their loved ones to any number of diseases and disorders that their failed immune systems are allowing to become established in their body, which will eventually wear them out.
Yeah, fair statement.
So where is monkeypox right now? What do you think? They're going to withdraw it, let it sit on the shelf for a while, roll it back out maybe this fall? What's your guess?
Well, if we look at the tabletop war game exercise, we're in lockstep with their first timeline there of announcing the first cases in May of 2022. So they've done that. Check that off. Hard to know. I am a little alarmed with all the therapeutics and prophylactics that are now suddenly being purchased in anticipation of what?
Be careful of the prophylactic use of anything. Be careful.
So they've got two vaccines ready to go that will cover both smallpox and monkeypox, and they have some oral medication as well that's been in the making for quite some time. This one that they're branding as TPOX. It was also known as ST-246. And it will, I guess, address, you know, a current infection, somebody that's already infected, and at least in the animal studies, brought them back almost from the brink of death. So, obviously, it hasn't really been tested in humans for efficacy, just, I guess, tolerability and safety. But it's alarming that there's this many suddenly therapeutics and prophylactics for viruses coming from the pox virus family. I mean, big money. Big money.
Oh, it's all about... Just ask Big Al Bourla or Boncel about big money. Ask any of them. Big pharma, big money, big death. And they, when you look at the actual rates by which these pharmaceutical companies raise the retail price on a drug compared to what it actually costs them, sometimes they raise it by a factor of 50,000%. You can find these.
Yeah.
They're charts online. They're there.
It's obscene. Absolutely obscene.
If we had a real competent, honest way of governing what was once a marvelous country, this wouldn't be allowed. I don't care about free enterprise. Forget that. It's corrupt. Here's the last monkeypox headline that kind of takes the cake. Pet hamsters and guinea pigs could be culled as a last resort to stop the monkeypox spread.
Unreal.
Kill those hamsters. Kill those guinea pigs.
They did that in China, didn't they? Because they believed the hamsters were harboring or a reservoir for SARS or something.
Well, dogs and cats.
That's right.
People were throwing their dogs and cats out of their high-rise residences. They'd hit the street, and these ghouls would pick them up, throw them in like a rope bag, and then beat them to death on the street.
Oh, man. Unreal.
See, I understand cultural differences, but I don't understand that.
No. Mm-mm.
I don't. All right. We have another. Go ahead.
Well, I just want to mention, too, again, it's hard to know what to make of this monkeypox thing, how seriously to take it at this point. But, you know, normally monkeypox should not be an issue for most people. But there was a 2015 study that was published in the Journal of Virology that was titled Evasion of the Innate Immune Type 1 Interferon System by Monkeypox Virus. The researchers concluded in that study that, on the other hand, MPXV, that is monkeypox virus, is not pathogenic in most strains of inbred mice unless interferon signaling is abrogated. Well, interferon signaling is definitely abrogated in anyone who's received these COVID injections. So, again, it goes to what we were talking about, well, in the past several programs, that interferon is compromised with these injections. And if monkeypox were to begin to circulate within the population, I suspect that a normally harmless virus would be quite problematic. Something to watch out for. And
indeed.
Interestingly, the predominant smallpox vaccine, which would also be used in the case of monkeypox, is the what they call ACAM 2000. And this one was formulated with on the same template as the original smallpox vaccine that was produced in the 1930s. It sheds. This is the one where they dip the needle in the solution of virus and then
right.
Scratch the skin
yep.
on your deltoid muscle there and create a just an irritation for the virus to begin replicating, but it sheds. And it can be very problematic in people that already have a compromised immune system. So I don't know what we're going to see if they start vaccinating people that have a compromised immune system with that sort of concoction.
They could literally do anything. They could blow this into another crisis and claim a lot of people are dying and there's a 30% mortality rate and we have to vax every... They could do the same crap, the same thing. And we'd be right back to where we were. There's talk already now of quarantining people, isolating people. I don't know. It's so bad. We don't any longer have a government here. Of, by, for the people. We have a government of, by, and for international big business and monetary fascism. That's the way I'd look at it. All right. There's another one that we didn't get to last time, and it's called Evusheld.
Evusheld.
What is it?
That we touched on that a couple weeks ago briefly. It's another option for people struggling with COVID. It's an injection of monoclonal antibodies that target the spike protein and the ACE2 binding portion of that spike protein. But it is specifically for immune-compromised people, of which we are seeing more and more of now. And it's for people at risk of exposure. It's not for people who think they have it, but for people who believe they're at high risk for being exposed to it and contracting it. It's made from clones of other people's B cells, basically. So they harvest the antibodies that other people who have overcome the infection have generated, and they grow them in a cell culture, which I believe is the embryonic retinal cell culture, and produce clones of these things. And then they inject them into people to help them if they are exposed. They last about 6 months. This injection is two injections, two different sets of monoclonal antibodies that will prevent the spike protein of the virus from attaching to anything with an ACE2 receptor. The problem with this is that we're still putting selective pressure on that virus to mutate. So,
okay, what does selective pressure mean? Translate
just
that.
Like with a bacteria, if you do not succeed in eradicating the bacteria, or in this case the virus, it has the ability to morph or mutate into a strain that will be resistant to whatever it is that's trying to kill it. In this case, these monoclonal antibodies or your immune system. And this is what Gerrit van den Bosch has been talking about. We've got a leaky vaccine that does not stop infection or does not stop transmission. So it gives the virus an opportunity to mutate and adapt to these pressures of whatever's trying to kill it, be it the immune system or antivirals. And by virtue of that, we are now seeing more virulent strains, more pathogenic strains of this coronavirus that probably would have fizzled out by now or not been problematic. I mean, at some point it would have reached an equilibrium within the population and it would have been something akin to a seasonal flu. Now it's this strategy of vaccinating during a pandemic with a leaky vaccine and a vaccine or an injection that's creating immune deficiency. It's disastrous. So this virus is going to continue to mutate into problematic forms that even healthy people are going to have problems with, because it's now developing the ability to use other receptors in the body, such as the acetylcholine receptors, which are very prevalent
season
on nerve cells.
Open season.
It's wide open. You know, the T cells, it can now use that GP120 portion of it to have a greater affinity for your T cells, your immune system, and then it's like airborne AIDS.
Airborne AIDS. If I might respectfully, to all of you out there, request that you always keep pulling back and looking at the bigger picture. Now, Geert Van den Bosch and many others continue to refer to the Moderna, Pfizer, J&J, which is on the shelf now, and AstraZeneca, etc., as being vaccines. They are not vaccines. They were not designed to be vaccines. They were not created or tested to be vaccines. They were not deployed to be vaccines. They are weapons of death, slow, medium, and fast. They are biological weapons of depopulation of this planet, and especially this country. We are targeted first, along with the UK. We're going to lose the most number of people. People right now, and we covered this on Monday's program, which I should put up and put a special note by it. Amyloid plaques can appear anywhere in the body and do. This is not the function of a vaccine. This is a function of a biological death weapon. So when Van den Bosch and all the rest of them talk about the vaccine isn't working, the vaccine is leaky, that's bullshit. This is a weapon of death. End of story.
Yeah, I mean, this should have stopped. If it was a legitimate vaccine, we had all the safety signals in January of 2021 that it was doing more harm than good. It should have been stopped. They had enough evidence for that.
Oh, the designers of it knew it. The government knew it. We have no government. This is all orchestrated. So pull back and understand. It's all lies. Lies.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, I'm grateful we have people like Van den Bosch. You're clicking there, young lady. Are you hearing those clicks?
I can hear it, yeah.
All right. Are you on your landline?
Yep.
All right, well, so far, so good. The last two programs, I've knocked Erica's landline out. Okay. So, look, this is an extermination event. Not necessarily extinction of everyone. I hate saying this. I am repulsed at hearing my voice speak these words. But this is going to kill a lot of people. And I think most of you know that. And I feel horrible for the vaxxed who have been brought up with television as their dominant input mechanism for information, who have been brought up thinking that their government and the medical establishment were their friends. Not true. And so it was pretty easy to con them into, to force them into, especially with mandates, taking these shots. I don't blame them. But we have a problem now, and in very simply, that the vaxxed pose and horrific danger to the unvaxxed, and vice versa. The unvaxxed are doing well. They're carrying all sorts of things around, bacterial, viral, and they can spread them. But if they spread them to someone who's got no immune system left, it could be fatal. So that's why we ask people to use common sense. Make your own decision about masks, because masks can help. They do, in fact, do some good. How much is debatable. But even if it's only a 10% improvement, I'll take it. So just keep that in mind. Keep always trying to pull back and look at the bigger picture. Who, what, where, when, why, how? How's it working? Who did it? Where is it happening? When did it happen? Why did it happen? And how did it happen? That's just basic rudimentary journalism. That's all it is. You still there? Now, see? We lost her. All right, we'll probably have to get her back on the... They're doing this on purpose. They don't like this program. They don't like the fact that we're just telling it straight. They're not going to stop. I mean, they've already won. They're going to do whatever the hell they want. So they really don't worry too much about a couple people trying to put the word out. Are you back?
I'm back.
You on your cell phone?
Nope, I'm still on the landline.
All right.
Can you hear me okay?
You're fine.
Okay.
Sound like you're on speaker this time.
Yeah, there's something happened to the handset now.
Oh, see? Am I good or what? No, I got that. Time to get Erica a new phone. Nah, it won't matter. They'll do whatever they want. That's what they do. They're just playing games, laughing it up, etc. Okay, now, all of you out there are wondering how much time, and all of our vax listeners, and we have a lot of people who are vaxed. If you are vaxed, to tell you the obvious, don't take any more shots. Our recommendation is simple. Enough's enough, okay? No boosters needed. You don't need any of this. Consider it, think about it, study it. But when people start talking about vaccines to you, they are lying to you. It is not a vaccination. Understand. We covered that Monday, and I thought that was the information that was in that program was a nuclear bomb's worth. And it's right there. You can see it. Okay, we have another one of many issues, and that's we've got tinnitus, we've got Creutzfeldt-Jakob, that's BSE, TSE, CJD, NVCJD, CJD, or VCJD, we've got amyloidosis, we've got interferon and monkeypox. Now, this is interesting, because the girl on the handset is the one who first started talking about interferon and how it was crucial that we maintain our cellular interferon and how this non-vax weapon was ruining it, destroying it, evicting it, whatever you want. All right, the first story up there is interferon monkeypox. You got it?
Yeah, that's what I just read a few minutes ago. That monkeypox is not an issue generally for as long as people have an intact interferon response. However, if they don't, monkeypox could be a very serious problem. And we have, anyone that's taken this shot is probably a not producing interferon the way they should. I mean, that's why we're seeing these outbreaks of herpes.
You're being very charitable. Not producing it as they should. Yeah, it's worse than that. Yes, wide open. We are seeing, and we will continue to see, people dying from countless numbers of diseases and disorders that in many cases are rarely, if ever, seen. And you watch, and it's going to get to be tough. And if we come across anything, and alfalfa baths, forget it. Don't buy into this stuff. There's no natural, innate therapy that's going to stop this. This spike protein is absolutely wicked deadly. And you have people who are thinking that Novavax is better. And we'll get to that in a minute. Anything else about IFN? This is a big story, interferon.
Yeah, I'm going back to the smallpox vaccine and just reading what they're saying on the FDA website about it. Now, this is the ACAM2000. There's two vaccines for smallpox, and I'm referring to the ACAM2000, which is the one that's been around the longest, and the one that they dip the needle in and create a scab on your arm. This is no small thing, and it is not recommended for people who are immune compromised. Approximately 1 in 175 adults who get the vaccine for the first time will experience myocarditis or pericarditis.
What was that ratio again?
1 in 175 adults who
get the vaccine. Isn't that a little too generous?
That's boy. Now, what about these people who have had the COVID injection that are afflicted now with pericarditis or myocarditis?
Right. Well, go ahead.
They're probably going to be offered the other, the Jynneos, which is the injection. That's the newer of the smallpox vaccines. Mm-hmm. But that's a it's a live virus, but it's supposed to be non-replicating. Do we believe them? But this is alarming. Serious health problems, including those that are life-threatening, can also occur in unvaccinated people who are accidentally infected by someone who has recently received the vaccine. This is the smallpox, ACAM 2000. In particular, unvaccinated people who are pregnant or have problems with their heart or immune system or have skin problems like eczema, dermatitis, psoriasis, and have close contact with a vaccine recipient are at increased risk for serious problems if they become infected with the vaccine virus, either by being vaccinated or by being in close contact with a person who was vaccinated. It is very important for the ACAM 2000 recipient to properly care for the vaccination site to prevent the virus in the vaccine from spreading and infecting another part of the body or other people. Ay, ay, ay. So you can see how possibly injecting immune-compromised people with something like this could be disastrous.
The common cold for immune-compromised or immunosuppressed or those who have no viable immune system at all, the common cold could kill them. No joke.
So now we're going to have people, presumably, who get this vaccine, who will be shedding it into the environment amongst many people who are immune compromised.
You're being charitable again. That's very nice to say immune compromised. These people are screwed. The Germans did the study. There have probably been others now. That after two shots, the average person had 12% immune function left. That's worse than compromised. That means it's 90% gone.
Right.
So what are you going to do? You can't look at these things as vaccinations. They're killing.
No.
This is one of the greatest, most horrific psychological triumphs over common sense and linear thought in human history, to get people to take this stuff. When in point of fact, the controversy is right there online for them. They can do their own looking at it, but they can't think anymore. They can't. They just can't think. I mean, they can think, but you know what I mean. They cannot deduce. They cannot be rational. They cannot put things together logically and pragmatically anymore. They're too used to staring and being told what to do. That's the last 75 years thereabout. TV. It's TV. Telling people what to do. Telling them what's funny. Telling them what to think. Telling them what reality is or what it isn't. It's all been a terrible psyop, a mind control victory over individuality. And it's boggles me. Anyway, okay. So interferon, the spike protein, how does it eradicate interferon or interfere with interferon?
Well, the virus itself is known. That's one of the viruses, the whole virus, not the spike. That's how it gets into a cell and sets up shop and starts replicating. It disables the interferon response. But so do the vaccines. That's part of the transfection technology where They have to put something in there to turn off the interferon response so that the cell will accept this foreign mRNA and begin producing proteins from it.
But begin producing spike proteins.
Correct.
Not a cell in your body, depending on which cell, can produce what? Dozens of different kinds of proteins, right, for your body?
Depends on the cell, yeah, what proteins it's producing, sure.
Right. So all of a sudden, your cells, those that have been hit with the mRNA packet and the spike protein, are no longer producing all of these proteins.
That's
They're
right.
gone.
Yeah.
And when you figure how many mRNA packets are in any of these bioweapon injections, and that each one is projected to produce at least 100 spike proteins, we think it could be thousands. Where's the end? Where's the off switch? We've never heard of one.
I don't think anybody's seen it yet.
No. No. So, all right. How about 30 trillion spike proteins?
Well, there's your Novavax.
From head to foot. From head to foot. Okay.
One injection.
Novavax. So what they did was, this is very clever. They got a lot of vaccine hesitancy. So they come out with this this new so-called vaccine. It's just another bioweapon without the mRNA needing to go in and transfect the cell and
right.
set up shop and begin to produce the spike protein, which has God only knows how many different ways of breaking down life. Gone. So here are people, oh, it's safer. We've heard it's safer. What is in the Novavax injection? Most of you know, but just for fun, tell them what's in the damn shot.
Well, it's just spike protein. It's full length spike protein with an adjuvant known as Matrix-M. It's a little nanoparticle in which they complex the spike protein so that it can be soluble in the body and provoke the immune system into seeing it and reacting to it.
Incredible.
I think there's some myth that it stays at the injection site. Looking at the adverse event reports, many people are. It's going systemic. I you know, one way or another, it's ending up in other organs because people are reporting myocarditis, pericarditis, vicious headaches.
From Novavax, got it,
yes.
friends.
All right. Many of the same adverse events that you saw with the other vaccines. So the spike protein really is the toxin here. I mean, the one benefit to Novavax is it's doesn't replicate, but it's still provoking the body and doing damage while it's there, and potentially causing cross reactivity with your own proteins. I mean, we have all those homologous epitopes on the spike protein that can cross react or are a match for your own proteins. 41 of which are in the female reproductive tract, so.
What a coincidence.
Yeah.
All right.
Don't forget, the spike protein, when it's cleaved, and the cleaving happens within the body, it happens when you're in a state of inflammation, your white blood cells can come in there and cut it in half and expose
those. That means
those.
It's opened up. It opens it up, okay? It's
and that's
broken
where the prion
open.
Binding sites are. These sites, regions on the spike protein that can cause your proteins to misfold.
Seven different
and
sites.
It takes sometimes to start that process. It cascades on its own. It's self-propagating.
Who put those seven sites in there, knowing when it was cleaved that they'd be wide open and begin to cause any protein that they came into contact with, that there was a match to misfold? Who put that in there? That's a question all of you should be asking. Who put that in there and why? And does this make it a vaccine? No, this makes it a weapon to kill you. We've explained all this in Monday's program. Okay, I've tried to open the Creutzfeldt-Jakob link, but it's coming back 404, so we might go right to the tinnitus link next.
Okay.
And that's talking about polyneuropathy. Go ahead.
Let's see. So this is somebody posting in one of these support groups, post-vax, and this person developed tinnitus following the vax. And now here she is a year later saying, polyneuropathy, this just started, and I'm 1 year out. It's horrible. Thoughts? And the first response is, yes, but it would kill much of this post and maybe endanger the group as a whole. I think you want to use PM, personal messenger, for this, since it would be crazy to code here to describe what could and could not help. So, I mean, people in this group are aware of the censoring that goes on, and you know, you say the wrong word, and the group's at risk of shutting down. But the thing is, this person has for the past year struggled with tinnitus, which has now morphed into polyneuropathy, which is nerve pain or nerve tingling.
In many areas.
Many areas, correct. And even pain, not just numbness tingling, but also pain. 1 year out.
So 1 year seems to be kind of a general rule of thumb about, let's just say, 10 to 14 months out, if you've been injected, unless you got a placebo and just took one shot and got lucky, you will probably begin to see things or you won't feel right. And we think that that's causing a lot of people to stay home, probably causing a lot of people to quit their work, too. Wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, I mean, the damage, once it's started, I mean, the vaccine or the injection, it appears to be a triggering event for some sort of chronic degeneration. You know, whether it's this amyloidosis, whether it's maybe something like sarcoidosis, maybe it's autoimmune, but the body is not getting over this. And so far I haven't really seen anybody or any doctor provide anything that can get these people past this.
No. I talked to another friend today who I unfortunately had gotten all the shots, the booster, and he's not doing well. And what do you say? Do you even bring up the idea that, you know, you shouldn't have done it? No, you can't. You can't. It's just people are carrying grief enough. They're going to have to find out on their own. All right, next one. We got a story here. Where was this posted? Do you remember?
One of the support groups, the hearing, okay. Hearing loss and tinnitus, I think. Yeah.
All right. Okay, I'll take the first half. Pick it up at where it says acceptance is tough. It's about halfway down. All right, wow. Officially a year since my vax-induced tinnitus started. What a roller coaster. In the beginning, I thought I could barely last a second with this sound. And now, 12 months later, I'm pretty much living life the way I was pre-tinnitus. I wish I could tell you that it's gone. Unfortunately, it's not. But the way my mind handles it has changed tremendously. I get annoyed from time to time, but I have more good days than bad. I've even learned how to focus through it. I wish I could give you a guide or blueprint on how I got here, but I can't, because the only thing that changed from day one to day 365 is my mentality toward it.
Okay. Acceptance is tough, very tough. But in order to accept it, I had to stop comparing my present to my past. This is who I am now, so I focused on what helps me mask it and what sometimes spikes it. But in the end, it all came down to accepting the tinnitus. the anger, the frustration, and to accept the fact that those emotions will continue to cycle through me until the day I hopefully heal. I know it's tough, but stay strong and stay active physically and mentally as possible, because I believe this shall pass. But until then, we got this one day at a time.
This is from the Tinnitus Group, and one thing I learned is that there are many people in the Tinnitus Group that have other issues in addition to tinnitus. And I don't know how they survive. It's amazing. This is a very uplifting message to people. It's nice to see. So good job on that one, whoever posted it. Thank you. And we got one more here. All right. Go ahead, take the first. I'll take the second paragraph.
Okay. Again, from the Hearing Loss and Tinnitus Group. Okay, so I've been experiencing the loudest tinnitus I've ever experienced. A 10 became much louder than a 10 was 2 years ago. I really was on the verge of a nervous breakdown. It's been going on for the last 2 weeks. I also suffer from a screwed up nasal condition and a cyst in there that needs to be fixed. So of course I deal with horrible congestion. A nasal surgeon put me on a high dose of prednisone, 20 milligram tablets once a day for 10 days, and a cortisone lotion to tube inside my nose.
A cortisone lotion to tube inside my nose. Wow. The first pill made my tinnitus shoot up into the stratosphere. That is where it has remained for 2 weeks. I only took one tablet and stopped. So this morning, I wake up to a clear head, congestion gone, and tinnitus at a 2 or less. I laid in bed for 2 hours, just taking in the unbelievable joy of breathing a near non-existent tinnitus. For the first time in 2 years. I'm trying to retrace everything I did up to this morning. The only thing I can say is the weather shifted to clear skies, low barometric pressure. I was afraid to get up, thinking the tinnitus would go up with it. And it did, maybe to a 3. I'm going to monitor my day, paying attention to what I consume and my activities. I pray this is a combination of the trigger that the prednisone set off along with the weather. And he finishes up quickly by saying, I'm sorry for the long post, but I've read where so many here are on the edge of a breakdown, so I hope this experience may give you hope that at least there are major breaks in the insanely high tinnitus. Take care, everyone. So this thing is really gruesome and brutal, as most all the effects of the spike protein are. And I still suspect, now I want to hear what you have to say. I still suspect, because of the ability, and we're talking about amyloid deposits again, plaques, why couldn't there be amyloidosis?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
In the auditory nerve.
I think that's a possibility. In some cases, it might be autoimmune, but something that gets worse with a steroid like prednisone is probably not autoimmune. There's another condition associated with protein dysregulation called inclusion bodies, which is just, you know, excess misformed proteins inside the cell that are particularly nerve cells. I mean, it's going to cause dysfunction like this. So these shots are, I mean, aside from doing a number on the immune system, are also doing a number on the body's ability to regulate its protein production. I mean, protein production has to be really well-timed. I mean, proteins need to be produced in the right amount, the right time, and when that's lost, all all kinds of things go wrong. You've got signaling molecules and hormones, and I mean, proteins are not just structure. They're all kinds of, as I
they're
said,
workers,
signaling
they're switches,
and enzymes
they're
and
all
hormones.
Kinds,
and,
yes. Oh, yeah. They're
and that's
they're
all
amazing.
Messed up with these things.
Okay, when you go to the right side of the homepage, look for the Monday program. It says, Why You Must Understand Amyloidosis and Amyloid Plaques. That's the program. Under it is the video that we played during the program. It's a two-minute-long video. You can watch it. Under that is the new study from Sweden confirms systemic amyloidosis caused by SARS-CoV-2 spike proteins. Okay, all right. Well, anything you want to add real quick? We're running late.
Nope, that's it.
Okay, thank you. Talk soon.
Okay, my pleasure, Jeff. Have a good weekend, everyone.
And it is a holiday weekend, so take good care. And we will be back with you on the holiday on Monday. Talk to you then.